And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
It's 11:09 on a Sunday evening here. It is June 19th, 2016. This is program 88 of the WGN Radio Theater. I am your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious and ever-dimpled Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl. Great. How are you?
We have our executive producer in the house, Mike Costella.
Happy Father's Day.
Same to you, sir. And our
I'm not a father.
You don't know that. And also, I would like to say hello to Elif Garris, our producer. And you know what? She's not a father, so...
No, Mike's pretty sure he's not a father. I'm just going to say
you don't
put
know
that out there.
I'm pretty sure I'm not.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good.
I think your wife would
know
be
that.
Hopeful that you're not as well.
All right. Well, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And we have a salute to, in my opinion, one of, if not the greatest president of the United States of America, Ronald Reagan. And yes, he was in radio, he was in television, he was an actor well before he got into politics, and we're going to hear him on three classic radio shows. Ronald Reagan appears as a guest on the Burns and Allen Show, then he stars on Suspense, and then a guest on the Charlie McCarthy Show. And I did this Charlie McCarthy Show, Lisa, for you, because I know you're into ventriloquism.
Thank you. I will appreciate that.
All right. So that's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the TV series The Ranch, about the son of a Colorado rancher who returns home from his football career to run the family business. And the winner will get two tickets to see Batsu. It's a new interactive game show that's playing right now. I'll
Where?
Let you know more
Where
about
it. Playing
it.
At?
It's playing at the Kamahachi Restaurant in Old Town.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like food and entertainment?
Yeah,
and
it's an interactive game show.
Do you get fed? I like to be fed when I'm doing something like that.
I don't know the answer
to your
question.
It sounds like hibachi. Maybe they have hibachi.
Kamahachi, hibachi, it rhymes, so that's good.
It's making me hungry just thinking about it. Okay, so the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here is a hint. This actor was the lead in 2013's Jobs.
How does somebody know what they want if they've never even seen it?
Right. Right, Lisa?
You are right. It is a dinner theater. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I would expect that they feed you
while
you're there. All right, if you know who that actor is, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break. All right.
All right, we're back, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
How does somebody know what they want if they've never even seen it?
And let's talk to Dave from Indiana. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
Good. Do you recognize that actor's voice?
Ashton Kutcher.
You are right, Dave. You are a winner. You have won two tickets to see Batsu. I hope you've heard about it. It's this cult favorite. It's run for 6 years in New York. It's in Chicago. It's an interactive game show. It's playing right now at the Kamahachi Restaurant. It's in Old Town, and we hope that you enjoy it. It's a really special dinner theater, and we hope that you enjoy it and let us know what you think of the show.
Sounds like a good night there.
Excellent. You know what? For more information, go to batsuchicago.com. That's BATSU chicago.com. Dave, thanks a lot for listening.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Batsu. It sounds like a Batman and Robin should be there. And, you know, the dynamic duo feed you. They do the hibachi. They're dressed as Batman and Robin, maybe.
Honestly, I haven't seen the show yet, but I do think it has something to do with a superhero like Superman.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, you hit that one on the head there.
You know what? When we go to play this radio show, we'll go online and check it out.
Yep. BatsuChicago.com.
Okie dokie. So salute to Ronald Reagan, one of the greatest presidents of all time. He was also a terrific actor. He was in a lot of movies, a lot of radio, TV. He also was a sportscaster. He called play-by-play for baseball games and football games. I mean, the guy was a workaholic. I mean, he did a ton of stuff. And he did the movies with the monkeys. What was those? Bedtime for Bonzo, I think it was, with Ronald Reagan. Well, you'll hear him now on a Burns and Allen show. He's a guest with George Burns and Gracie Allen. Let's go back to January 25th, 1950. George Burns and Gracie Allen with special guest Ronald Reagan, part one.
Are you reducing tooth decay with Amident ammoniated toothpaste?
Well, answer the man, George.
Of course, Gracie. I use Amident twice a day.
You can smile when you say that.
Yes, it's the Amident Show, transcribed in Hollywood and starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With our special guest, Ronald Reagan, yours truly, Bill Goodwin, B. Benaderet, Hal March, Marvin Miller, Harry Lubin, and the Amident Orchestra. For healthy laughter, it's George and Gracie. And for healthier teeth, for fewer cavities, it's Amident toothpaste. The theatrical club to which George Burns belongs, the Friars, is giving a testimonial dinner for movie star Ronald Reagan. And George is going to be one of the speakers. We find him now preparing his speech.
Gracie, I've got a very funny opening. Would you like to hear it?
I'd love to.
Friars, friends, Toastmaster, and honored guest Ronnie Reagan. As I look at our guest of honor, I'm reminded of a story. It seems
I heard a terribly funny story that would make a great opening for your speech.
Look, I've got an opening. As I look at our... Gracie, please.
Oh, I can't help it, George. It's the funniest story I ever heard.
Well, if it's that funny, let's hear it.
I wish I could remember it.
I'll use the opening I've got.
It seems a shame to have to write a whole new speech. Why don't you just change the name and use the same speech you made for Sophie Tucker?
Brilliant idea. I'll say, tonight we pay tribute to Ronnie Reagan, the last of the Red Hot Mamas. Gracie, what I said about Sophie Tucker wouldn't fit Ronnie Reagan.
No, huh?
No. You see, one was discovered singing in a restaurant and the other playing football.
Oh, really? Where did Sophie play football?
For Notre Dame.
Oh, you're right. That wouldn't fit Ronnie.
Oh, no. For your information, Gracie, Ronnie was an outstanding back.
Well, Sophie's outstanding on both sides.
Look, what I need is some facts about Ronnie's life so I could finish this speech.
You know, I can tell you what the girls at the beauty shop say about Ronnie Reagan. Some of them have dated him.
They have?
Mm-hmm. You know how girls feel about handsome movie stars.
Sure.
Well, I found out handsome movie stars feel the same way about girls.
I imagine Ronnie's popular with the girls.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to decide who's more popular, Ronnie or Bill Goodwin.
It's neck and neck, huh?
Every night.
Yeah, let it go.
Well, have I been a help to you, George?
Tremendous.
Oh, I'm
tremendous.
Glad. I wanted to put you in a good mood before I told you about the dream I had last night.
What was that?
Well, I dreamt that you bought me a 1950 Cadillac, and I bought you a necktie.
That was a nice dream.
Yeah, here's the tie. Well, I've kept my end of the bargain.
And now I'm supposed to buy you a Cadillac.
Well, sure, because I dreamt it and dreams come true.
Well, tonight you can dream that I've changed my mind. Forget the whole idea.
But, George, this isn't my idea. It came from my subconscious mind.
There's another one? Look, honey, I wasn't born yesterday. I know that. Come in.
Well, Blanche,
Blanche Morton. Hello, Gracie. Hello, George.
Hiya, Blanche.
I just had to come over and tell you the dream I had about you two last night.
About us, Blanche?
Yes. I dreamt that George bought you a 1950 Buick.
A Cadillac.
Oh, that's right. Cadillac.
No!
Yes!
Well, that's remarkable. I had exactly the same dream.
No!
Yes!
Have you two Dolly sisters finished your act? Well?
Act?
I know you cook this up.
Cooked it up?
What do you think I am, a jerk?
You better take that one alone, Gracie. I'm liable to ad-lib you right into a Ford.
Look, Rosie and Jenny. I'm not even getting a Ford, so relax. And as long as you're here, Blanche, I'd like you to listen to the opening of my speech.
Oh, it's for the Ronnie Regan dinner at the Friars Club, Blanche.
All right.
Friars, friends, Toastmaster, and honored guest Ronnie Regan. As I look at our guest of honor, I'm reminded of a story. It seems...
Oh, George, I heard a wonderful story that'll fit right in there.
I've got a story, you see.
Not as funny as this one.
No.
The husband said to his wife, "Why didn't you mend the holes in my socks?" And she said, "You didn't buy that fur coat I wanted, so I figured if you didn't give a rap, I didn't give a darn."
What's that got to do with Ronnie Regan?
Well, he wears socks.
Look, will you listen to my opening, please? Friars, come in.
Hello, George.
Hello, Gracie.
Oh, hello, Harry.
Hi, Harry. If you're looking for your wife, here she is.
No, George. I just dropped by to tell you about the dream I had last night. I dreamt that you bought Gracie a 1950 car.
No.
Yes.
I dreamt the same thing.
No.
Yes.
Well, Harry Richmond is back with the Dolly sisters again.
George.
You can all relax. I'm not going to buy a 1950 car. We don't need it. It would be different if our car was a wreck.
It would, huh?
Come back here, Gracie. I wish I had some facts about Ronnie's life so I could finish the speech.
Well, I'll go over to his house and interview him for you.
Never mind. I'll get the information.
Oh, well, you'll be too busy buying me a Cadillac. Come on, Blanche. You can go along and meet Ronald Regan in person.
Isn't that disgusting?
Gracie is staying here.
And so are you, Blanche. Ronald Regan is nothing to get excited about. He's no different from me. We're both men. We're both flesh and blood.
Yeah. Except you got the flesh and he got the blood.
Just stay away from Regan's house.
Oh, come on, Blanche. Let's go out in the kitchen and have a cup of coffee.
Okay, Gracie.
Some acting.
Yeah. That wife of yours kills me, George. Imagine thinking she could get a new car with that dream idea.
Oh, I don't think she really expected it to work, Harry. She does those things for kicks. I remember once. Come in.
Mr. Burns?
Yes?
Hi, Mr. Brown from Hillcrest Motors. I've got your new Cadillac out front. You'll just sign here, please.
I'm not buying a new Cadillac.
But, Mr. Burns, I spent all day yesterday with your wife answering her questions, explaining the car to her. Mr. Burns, I've earned this sale.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Do you know what she asked me to do? Put the windshield wipers on the inside so they wouldn't get wet when it rained.
Well, look, I don't...
And listen, all the time she was talking, she kept running the automatic windows up and down.
What for?
She was cracking nuts.
Well, look, Mr. Brown, maybe in a year or two I'll buy a car from you. But right now you can do me a little favor.
Like what?
Well, you're a salesman and you listen to lots of speeches. Listen to the opening of this speech and see what you think of it.
Okay.
Friars, friends, Toastmaster, and honored guest Ronnie Regan. As I look at our guest of honor, I'm reminded of a story. It seems...
Oh, say, I heard a dilly you can use, Mr. Burns.
Look,
these three old men, 75, 85, and 95, are discussing how they'd like to die. And the first one says, "I'd like to get it over fast, crash in a jet plane." And the second one says, I'll take freezing. That's just like going to sleep. And they both turned to the 95-year-old and said, well, how about you, Pop? And he says, I'd like to be shot by a jealous husband.
Goodbye, Mr. Brown.
Goodbye, Mr. Brown. You know, it sounds like you got a great speech.
I'm glad you like it. Schmo.
Hey, George. George?
Yes?
I just looked out in the kitchen. Our wives are gone. I'll bet anything they went to Regan's house.
Don't be silly, Harry. We gave them orders not to. They wouldn't dare.
Yeah, I guess you're right. They wouldn't dare.
Of course not.
Well, here we are, Blanche. This is Ronald Regan's house.
Oh, Gracie, I'm so excited. Imagine meeting that big, handsome movie star in person.
Oh, well, now don't expect too much, Blanche. You know, on the screen, they use all kinds of tricks to make those movie stars look good. Makeup and putty and built-up shoes and girdles and wigs and goodness knows what all. You may get quite a shock when you see Ronald Regan. Did you hear what I said?
No, what did you say?
You may get quite a shock when you see Ronnie Regan.
Oh, I don't think so. I've seen him from a distance. What a man. 6 feet.
There you are. On the screen, you only see two.
Just ring the doorbell, Gracie. You'll see how wrong you are.
All right. But don't say I didn't warn you. I've heard about these things, you know.
Yes, please, ladies. This humble person may be of assistance.
Well, caught you without your makeup, eh, Mr. Regan?
Oh, Gracie!
Excuse, please. Me not Mr. Regan. Me, Mr. Regan's boy.
His boy, huh? Do you look like your father?
Gracie, he's not Ronald Regan's son. He's a houseboy. He works for him.
Oh.
Yes, me, Wong.
Well, it's big of you to admit it. Is the Mr. Regan at home?
No, but I expect him very soon. Please to come in and wait.
Oh, we'd love to.
I'll say.
Isn't this exciting, Blanche, being in Ronnie Regan's home?
Oh, it's like a dream. If he walks in that door, I hope somebody pinches me.
Well, don't count on it, Blanche. He's a very nice boy.
Well, anyway, I can't wait for him to get here.
Oh, maybe.
It's interesting. They keep calling him Regan, Ronnie Regan, instead of Reagan. I don't know. I don't know what the origin of that is. I mean, Smith, Smythe, maybe. I don't know. But we all know him as Ronald Reagan. I don't think we called him Regan. Maybe. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
I have no idea.
Roger, what about you? What do you think?
No, I mean, Roger knows everything.
Was a Regan. Donald Regan was Treasury Secretary.
No, I'm saying Ronald Reagan.
You know, I have found in some other shows, even I think in a couple of the Lucy TV shows, where they meet someone famous and mess up their name.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I don't know if they're messing up his name. They're all saying Regan, and they would have had rehearsals prior to this, and he would have said, well, I'm pronounce it Reagan. Maybe he just went by Regan back then, and then as he got into government work, maybe he said, okay, I want to go by Reagan. I don't know.
Before the 20 Mule Team Borax TV?
Well, it's around that time. He was the host of the Wells Fargo TV show for a while, and he did a lot of acting. All right, well, we're going to go to break, then we're going to go to news, then it's part two of the Burns and Allen show, so let's take a quick break. All right, welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. We are here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. with Classic Radio, all your favorite Classic Radio shows. We play like six shows over the weekend. Right, Lisa Wolf?
Like six or about six or exactly six?
It's six.
Generally six.
When so they're like half-hour shows, there's six. But every once in a while, we play an
Lux
hour.
Radio.
Yeah. But we have six radio shows over this weekend. Yesterday, we had shows starring Humphrey Bogart. And then tonight and into the wee hours of the morning, we have Ronald Reagan shows. Or do you say Reagan? We have
him. I think
we're
going to go with Reagan on this one.
Yeah, he appears on this Burns and Allen show. We're tuning in. Then in our second hour, we're going to tune into a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense called Circumstantial Terror from 1954. And then we're back to 1953 as he guest stars on the Charlie McCarthy Show. Now, before we get back to this Burns and Allen show, I want to have everybody listen for this. I'm going to be listening for this, too. So according to a story that the former president told the Los Angeles Herald Examiner back in 1988, in fact, on February 26, 1988, he said that during this broadcast, this exact broadcast we're playing, Gracie dropped her script. Now, this was live. I mean, you made a mistake. That's it. So she dropped her script, and the script went all over the place, and she couldn't pick it all up. And so after a brief pause, she and George just started doing a vaudeville routine, and he said that saved the show because she couldn't find her place. So it might
see
be
if
fun.
We can find the improv moments.
Yeah,
moment.
Listen to this, and we're going to get back to this now. Let's tune into part two from January 25th, 1950 now, of the Burns and Allen Show with special guest Ronald Reagan.
And now back to the home of movie star Ronnie Reagan, where Gracie and Blanche are awaiting his arrival.
Oh, I just saw him drive in the driveway, Blanche. It won't be long now.
Oh, Gracie, I'm so nervous. I just know I'll stutter and stammer when I meet him.
Oh, now calm down. You'll be all right.
I'll practice my diction. Oh, no, brown cow.
I think he'd like it better if you just said hello, Mr. Reagan.
My knees are shaking. I'm going to stand behind this chair so I'll have something to lean on.
Oh, Wong, I'm... Well, looks like I have company.
How now, brown cow? Hello, Mr. Reagan.
You're Gracie Allen, aren't you?
That's right.
And look who's behind the chair. It's George.
What?
Oh, no, this is my friend Blanche Morton.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Please forgive me, Blanche. Is it all right if I call you Blanche?
Yeah, I like it better than George.
Imagine thinking you were a man. Well, it's the fault of the light in here. I'll make it dimmer. Please sit down, ladies. Now, to what do I owe the pleasure of this visit?
Oh, well, we want to find out all about your life, Mr. Reagan. You see, George is going to make a speech at your dinner.
Yes, so I've been warned. Told.
Well, now, tell me all about yourself, and I'll make notes for George.
Very well. I'll start by telling you where I came from. I was raised on a farm in Illinois.
Well, that certainly beats California. All they can raise out here is vegetables.
I meant that my father had a farm and I grew up on it.
Oh!
I went to a country school. This will sound corny, but I actually had to walk 4 miles to the schoolhouse.
You poor boy. Did you go to college?
Yes, I went to college on a scholarship.
That certainly beat walking, didn't it?
Yes.
Well, tell me more about the farm. Did you raise any silos?
One of the biggest in Illinois, until a cyclone came along. I remember one summer we had three cyclones.
Really?
Yeah, but we had a good cyclone cellar.
Oh, he must have been good if he sold you three cyclones. Well, so much for your boyhood days. Now, I want to know all about you now. How old are you?
You mean before we started this interview or now? I've aged considerably.
Now, and tell the truth, Mr. Reagan. I think it's silly for people to lie about their age.
Well, I'd say I'm about your age.
Oh, and out of college already?
Yes.
Now, tell me some exciting things that have happened to you.
Well, I've had a few narrow escapes hunting. See the bearskin rug in front of the fireplace?
Yes.
Well, that bear charged me.
How much?
He attacked me. If I hadn't gotten him, he'd have gotten me.
Oh, well, I'm awfully glad it was him. He makes a much better rug.
Thanks.
Now, is that the most nerve-wracking experience you've ever had?
Let's say it was the second most nerve-wracking.
When was the first?
It isn't over yet.
Well, now tell me all about how you happened to get into it.
Come in.
Hi, George.
Oh, hello, Bill. I'm glad you dropped by. Would you listen to the opening of my Ronnie Reagan speech? And see what you think of it.
Oh, sure, George. But listen, first let me tell you about the dream I had last night. I dreamt that you bought Gracie a 1950 Cadillac.
Yeah, how'd you know?
You're the fourth dream I've seen walking. How did Gracie get you into this plot?
Well, she said she'd let me borrow the car to take my girls out.
You've got a car.
Well, it's a coupe. It only holds three girls. Gotta keep coming back to Hollywood and Vine for a refill.
Well, the new car is out.
Well, okay, I did my best. Let's hear the opening of your speech.
I think it's pretty funny, Bill. Friars, friends, Toastmaster, and honored guest, Ronnie Reagan. As I look at our guest of honor, I'm reminded of a story. It seems...
Well, go on.
Thanks. It seems there were...
Hey, I just thought of a... Get this, George. A girl was leaving home for the big city, so her mother said, "Now, Doris, don't ever let a man come to your apartment, because if you do, Mother will worry." So the daughter said, "Okay, Mom, I'll go to his apartment and let his mother worry."
Doesn't Afra have any straight men?
Now, just relax, George. What are you going to say about Ronnie Reagan after your opening?
Well, I'll tell about him being the president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Oh, yeah, that lucky dog. That's how he gets the girls.
What?
He got a law passed. Whenever a screen actor gets married, his little black book automatically goes to the president. Look at December alone. Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant, and Clark Gable. He hit the jackpot.
Hello, dear. Hello, Bill. Look who I brought back with me.
Well, Ronnie, come in. Glad to see you.
Hello, George. Hiya, Bill.
Hello, Lucky.
Ronnie, tell George about the dream you had last night.
Oh, yes.
Just tell me
the model. I know the rest of it.
A convertible.
Thanks.
I had a wonderful interview with Ronnie, George. I'll tell you about it as soon as I make us all some tea.
Good idea, Gracie. How would you like it, fellas?
I'll take a slice of lemon.
Just sugar for me.
I'll take cream.
Nobody wants tea, huh? Well, excuse me.
Just bring the other stuff, yes. Ronnie, I called Warner Brothers and got all the dope I needed for my speech. I'm sorry Gracie bothered you.
Oh, I didn't mind. But, man, how do you stand it every day?
It isn't easy. Once I decided to throw myself under a train.
Oh, George, you shouldn't have done it.
I didn't.
Oh.
I'll go collect my notes and run through my speech for you.
Okay, George. Hey, listen, Ron, I've been waiting to get you alone. What did you take for Gable's book? No sale, Bill.
But, Ronnie, you've got so many. To date all those beautiful dolls, you'll have to live to be 150.
With that incentive, I might make it.
Well, you'd know more about that than I would. You're closer.
I wouldn't talk, Bill. You're pushing 40.
Well, if I'm pushing it, you're dragging it.
Are you kidding? The girls are starting to call you the grand old man of Mulholland.
Listen, I could take a girl away from you with my hands tied behind me.
That's the only way they'll go out with you.
Ooh,
I wish there was a girl here right now so I...
Well, here you are, boys. A slice of lemon and a lump of sugar.
Gracie, my romantic technique has been challenged by this character actor. Now, just for a minute, would you pretend that you're single?
Yes, Gracie, we'll try our techniques on you. Now, forget that you're married to George Burns.
But, oh, it takes time to forget a thing like that.
Well...
Well, that's long enough.
Okay, Ronnie, you start.
Ah, Gracie, you're lovely, beautiful, enchanting. I kiss your hand.
Oh.
All right. Now it's my turn.
Oh, you love it, Bill. It tickles.
No, Gracie. It's my turn to show my technique, my line.
What line? Come with me, Gracie. We'll drive through the park.
Come with me, Gracie. We'll drive to the ocean and watch the moonlight on the water.
We'll go dining and dancing.
We'll have champagne and caviar.
We'll brush our teeth with Amadent ammoniated toothpaste.
What?
You can't top that, Bill. Girls love Amadent toothpaste.
Wait a minute, that's my line.
It leaves your mouth feeling fresh and clean, your teeth bright and sparkling. Amadent is a grand wake-up toothpaste.
Ronnie, don't say it so good. I got a living to make.
More dentists recommend Amadent than any other dentifrice. How about it, Gracie?
I'll go with you, Ronnie.
Oh, no, you won't. If he's furnishing Amadent toothpaste, I'm going with him.
Well, Ronnie, I've got my speech all ready. Sit down, everyone, and give a listen.
Okay, George.
Friars, friends, Toastmaster, and honored guest, Ronnie Regan. As I look at our guest of honor, I'm reminded of a story. It seems that...
Oh, George, I know a story that'll be great next time.
You like mine, Ronnie.
Ah, but wait till you hear this one. A spinster schoolteacher, sweet 36, and never been kissed, has her first date. Well, the moonlight, a smooth line, the fella kisses her. Immediately, she bursts out crying. She says, oh, how can I ever face those dear, sweet, innocent children tomorrow with two black marks against me? The fella says, what do you mean, two? She says, well, you're going to kiss me again, aren't you?
Ronnie, that'll never get a laugh. Now, please, everyone, let me do my speech. Friars, friends, Toastmasters...
Now, I think it's terrible the way everybody interrupts, George. Go ahead, dear.
Thanks. Friars, friends, Toastmasters...
Any man who's nice enough to buy his wife a Cadillac certainly deserves to try out his speech. Go ahead, George.
Friars, friends,
Toastmasters... Probably a wonderful speech. Show them, dear.
Friars,
George
friends,
is a fine speaker.
Oh, no, I can't continue. And in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, I can only wish Ronnie Regan the success and happiness that he so richly deserves. I thank you. How long did that run, Gracie?
Exactly 10 minutes, George, and it's a beautiful speech.
Well, thanks for listening to it.
Oh, it was a pleasure, darling. Doesn't this new Cadillac ride beautifully?
Yes. Gee, it's swell in the back seat, too, isn't it, Ron?
Wonderful. But how come the windshield wiper's on the inside?
I'll explain that sometime, Ronnie.
George and Gracie will return in just a moment. Join us again next Wednesday when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Harry Lubin and the Amadent Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Goodwin. Brought to you by the makers of Amadent, the ammoniated toothpaste and tooth powder. Recommended by more dentists than any other dentifrice. The George Burns and Gracie Allen program was transcribed in Hollywood, written by Paul Henning, Sid Dorfman, Larry Klein, and Harvey Helm, and produced by William Burns. Now, here are our stars.
Gracie, next week, our guest star will be the Bank of America.
The Bank of America?
Well, the same thing. Al Jolson.
Oh, he's wonderful. George, you know that million-dollar robbery back in Boston? Do you think any of that money was Jolson's?
No, Gracie. Those armored trucks are too small to carry Jolson's loot. The Navy moves his money in battleships.
Oh, so that's why the Missouri got stuck in the mud.
Yeah, that did it. See you next week, Jolie. Good night, folks.
Girls, it's here. A shampoo you can use with perfect safety when you have a cold.
Listen to the man. Wet my hair when I have a cold? Not me.
With Minipoo, the marvelous new dry shampoo, you don't have to wet your hair. Minipoo gets your hair shining, clean, and fresh in only 10 minutes without water. It's quick and easy to use, grand for oily hair, and it doesn't disturb your wave.
Sounds wonderful. Where can I get it?
At all drugstores. Minipoo, M-I-N-I-P-O-O. Minipoo.
Next Wednesday and every Wednesday, listen to the Amident Show starring George and Gracie. Good night, everyone.
For the London Abner Show, which follows immediately. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
We've got to get some of that Minipoo shampoo. What do
they
you think?
They said it's great for oily hair. You might you might benefit from that product.
Minipoo. Minipoo shampoo.
You have to say it fast. Like
and
Minipoo.
Then Amident tooth powder or toothpaste. Is that even around anymore?
Yeah, that's how I get my pearly whites.
Amident.
It's
and
best.
Minipoo.
And Minipoo.
Minipoo. Those were the sponsors of the Burns and Allen Show, January 25th, 1950. That's George Burns, Gracie Allen, Bill Goodwin on that. B. Benaderet, Lisa, was the Petticoat Junction grandma, you know, the mom on that or grandma on that. And then she was also the voice of Betty Rubble on the Flintstones. Also, Hal March in that, Marvin Miller, Harry Lubin in his orchestra, and special guest Ronald Reagan, although they were calling him Regan. I'm curious to hear these other two shows that were going to air to see if they call him Regan or Reagan.
They may have just been plain wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
all right, we'll figure it out.
Weirder things have happened.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Ah, there's our familiar theme song, Lisa Wolf.
I've heard it once or twice before.
Would you like to waltz?
With who?
Me. I can't waltz, but if you can waltz, you can lead.
Oh.
No?
That's okay.
This is from, you know this theme is from, right?
Yeah, we've talked about
the
this.
The Third Man.
This is
Third Man music.
This is show 88.
Yes, it is.
In the series.
It is.
Yep.
Very good. You can count that high?
Well, not 88? Really.
88?
I have to use my fingers, so it's a lot.
Lisa has two master's degrees.
Yeah, you but they're not in mathematics.
No.
But we do have some listeners that have that.
You know what I
they
studied
keep us
when
on
I was,
our toes.
You know what I studied when I was in college?
To be an astronaut?
I studied to be an astronaut.
Right,
yes.
Roger?
Did you know that?
I'm not
Roger,
getting in on this anymore.
Roger.
No.
Roger, LF, I'm bringing you in.
LF, did you know that I studied to be an astronaut when I was in college?
I knew that, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I took up space.
Roger?
Even Elif didn't go for it.
He can't even get Elif, and she's the newest dumb member here.
Oh, man. You got to like doing this radio show.
But we all love you
week,
anyways, Carl. Just
on the
say.
Weekends. We have a lot of fun doing
right,
this
Raj?
Show.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
And
by the
I
way,
think Roger called
guess
a five-year-old last
by the
night.
Way.
Guess what I'm getting tomorrow?
What?
A new car.
Oh, God, I wish.
Okay, sorry.
No.
Mies Meals.
You got it.
Mies Meals.
Yes.
You and me both,
right.
Roger, will have to take notes and compare.
I definitely will.
Awesome. Yeah. So Roger's talking about our sponsor, Mies Meals.
Finally,
they have
Roger.
A terrific promotion going on for all of our listeners, and that is dinner for two delivered to your home absolutely free. Just put the promo code radio in when you order. Just go to Mies, M-E-E-Z-Meals.com, Mies Meals, and it's amazing, it's fun, it's so good, and it's so delicious and healthy for you.
Roger, do me a favor.
It was so easy to do.
Yeah,
it
take
really
a, if you make something tomorrow, will you take a picture and send it, and we'll post it on Facebook.
Sure.
Roger's
it'll be delivered
dinner.
It'll be delivered to your home tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I've got, because they told me that. We're yep. delivering it Monday.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting the lemon tuna, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting that.
Oh, very
so,
good.
So we're going to fry it up. And
let us know.
Actually,
I'm
we're
sure
going to follow the instructions. Yes. They send
that might be difficult for you. But.
What? Oh, she's turning on me.
Hey, Roger, do you know why that Mies Meals is doing this for all of our listeners, letting them sample Mies Meals absolutely free?
Carl, I don't know.
Well, because they know that when you see how great this is and how much you enjoy the food, you may become a customer.
That's right.
That's what they want to
do. Of course. And they've got great selection.
Yeah, they really do.
They must have, I think I went through about 9 or 10 different main meals that I could choose from. And then you could put, you know, if you have certain health issues or food issues, you can check things off there of, you know what I don't want or what I do want.
Yeah, and I always
that
do that,
customize.
Too. Yeah,
you know.
I'm just really picky, so I always do that.
This is a really buttoned-up company. They know what they're doing. They've been around a long time, and they have a lot of customers. And they want all of our listeners to try them absolutely free. No cost to you, folks. Dinner for two delivered to your home. Just go to Mies, M-E-E-Z, meals.com. And thanks for trying them out, Roger.
Yeah, and don't forget, for the free meal, you got to put in the promo code. There's a little thing after you get the total for your figure. You click on, I think it's a coupon, and type in radio, and it recalculates it, and big zero. That's your cost
there you go.
For the meal.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate that very
much.
All right, so MiesMeals.com. Check them out. All right, in this hour, we're going to tune into a tale well-calculated to keep us in suspense, starring Ronald Reagan. In our third hour on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, it is the Charlie McCarthy Show with special guest Ronald Reagan. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the TV miniseries Close to the Enemy, set in a London hotel in the aftermath of the Second World War.
All right.
And the winner will win two tickets to see Batsu.
Yeah.
Yep.
Batsu.
Yep.
What is that again?
It's it's an interactive game show. It's surprises.
Do they feed you though?
It is a dinner theater.
I'll go if they feed me.
Yes, then you're all set up.
All right, the number to call 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress was the lead in 1998's How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
If I weren't in my right mind, I swear you were trying to hit on me.
All right, right?
I saw that movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I don't know.
It's a good movie.
I know everybody loved it, except for me, I'm afraid.
Let's take a break. When we find our winner, we'll be right back.
This is the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that movie clip again.
If I weren't in my right mind, I swear you were trying to hit on me.
And we've got Kim on the line from Schaumburg. Hey, Kim.
Hi, this is Kim.
Hi, we're hoping that you can identify that celebrity's voice.
I believe it was Angela Bassett.
You were right. Did you see How Stella Got Her Groove Back? Did you see that movie?
A long time ago when it first came out.
Yeah, me too. I know it's been a while. Well, luckily you remembered it, and you are a winner. You've won a pair of tickets to see Batsu. Everybody's talking about it. It's a comedic and interactive game show, and they say it offers a full night of surprises and nonstop laughs. It's playing at the Old Town's Kamahachi restaurant.
You get fed, too.
You get fed. It's a dinner theater, and it's been running for 6 years in New York. It's been very successful, and we hope that you enjoy the show. You can check them out and get more information at batsuchicago.com. That's B-A-T-S-U. Hey, Kim, thanks so much for listening and for getting the right answer.
Thank you. And by the way, I'd like to say hello to both of you. I met you at the ranch when you had an event there a few years ago.
Yes, Kim, I remember you.
Yes, I wasn't sure if you'd remember me, but
me
I was
too.
The crazy woman on your suspension.
I remember.
Well, you know, everybody's a little crazy.
You did a great job on
but,
that.
But, Kim, I totally remember you, and thank you so much for saying hello. It's really great to hear from you.
Great to hear from you, Kim. Thanks for tuning us in here on WGN. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right, talk to you. Thank you. So you know what, Lisa?
What?
That was fun. Remember when we went to Woodside Ranch?
We did. We went to Woodside Ranch. We were doing a radio show broadcast live from there.
Yeah, we were broadcasting live, and we had some of the...
And we had Crazy Kim. Yeah. So what else do you need?
Kim played the crazy woman, and we did Suspense
I remember.
On a country road.
And my daughter was in it.
Yeah, and we had some of our listeners be in these radio dramas. We should do something like that with WGN.
We should do. Give us some ideas, you guys. We'll do it.
Yeah, we'll do
it. Kim, help us out.
Yes, indeed. All righty. It's time for Suspense. You ready for this, Lisa?
I'm ready.
So Ronald Reagan appeared before the CBS microphones on March 8th, 1954, in a broadcast called Circumstantial Terror. Great cast in this, along with Ronald Reagan, Howard McNear, Charles Calvert, Vic Perrin. Larry Thor was the announcer on this. Larry Thor even has a deeper voice than your husband, Dan.
Is that possible?
Yeah, he does. All right, so let's tune this in. Part one now of Suspense.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Ronald Reagan in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, Autolite presents the story of a man who wanted to apologize for threatening a stranger. And when he got there, the stranger was dead and the police were waiting. It's called Circumstantial Terror. Our star, Mr. Ronald Reagan. And now, Autolite presents Circumstantial Terror, starring Mr. Ronald Reagan, hoping once again to keep you in suspense. I wasn't the only one who was mad at him. All the other guys felt just about like I did. About Curly Weber, that is. You see, if he hadn't let the pressure go too high, we'd have all been in good shape right now. As it was, the boiler blew up and wrecked the cleaning plant where I worked. The owner collected the insurance money and got out of the business, which left us with no jobs. After a few months of looking around for a job, I was in a pretty bad way. Then I connected. Only trouble was, it wouldn't start for 3 weeks. By now, I was broke, irritable, and mad at the world. So I wasn't what you'd call a pleasant type fellow when I walked into this liquor store for a package of smokes about 11 o'clock one night.
So, what else could I do, Eddie? There I was with egg on my face and that phony salesman telling me I was going to have to take what he gives me or get nothing at all.
What do you have to buy from him for?
His outfit has the distributor tied up. 25% of what I make from his scotch.
I'd like a pack of cigarettes.
Hold your horses, mister. I got another customer. So, I check around town to see if maybe I can get the scotch somewhere else.
How'd you make out?
Go ahead. Take a guess.
Come on, mister. Get off the dime. Just give
What's the matter with you? Ain't you got no manners?
Just give me a pack of cigarettes and stop shooting off your mouth.
Me shooting off my mouth? Look, buster, I got a pretty good trade right now, so why don't you take your two-bit sale somewhere else? I don't even like the way you look.
Listen, smart guy. I've taken a lot of lip from guys like you in the last few months. One more crack out of you and I'll smear you all over the joint, do you hear?
All right, mister, all right. Take it easy. Sam don't mean no harm. That's just the way he talks.
Then let him talk to somebody else like that.
Hey, why don't you give me cigarettes, Sam? We can talk some more after he leaves.
Okay. What kind do you want, mister?
I don't want any kind. I just want you to remember something. Next time you see me, you'd better cross over to the other side of the street. It'll be healthier for you. Remember that. I went back to my room and poured myself a drink. No doubt about it, I'd acted like a fool. But 4 months of being unemployed didn't exactly develop an even temper. It was a half hour before I realized I still hadn't got any cigarettes, and another 15 minutes before I could talk myself into going back to the liquor store to apologize for losing my temper. The street was dark, and the only light on the whole block came from the glowing window of the liquor store. I still wasn't sure what I was going to say to Sam when I got there, but I knew I'd fix everything up all right. I'd gotten to within about 100 feet of the store when I noticed a black, or what seemed to be black, coupe parked in front of the store. Just about the time I noticed it, I heard a shot. It seemed to come from the direction of the store. I stopped for a second. Then a guy rushed out of the store right in front of me, jumped into the car, and before I could do anything, it roared down the darkened street out of sight.
I ran to the store and looked in. Nobody around. Then I looked behind the counter. The guy I'd argued with, Sam, was on the deck. I could tell right away that it was a waste of time to check his pulse, but I did it anyway. He was dead, all right. Then I started for the door to call the cops.
Hey, what's going on?
What'd I tell you, Irv?
I saw who did it. He ran out the door as I was coming up the street. Come on.
Grab him, Irv. He did it. That's the guy I was telling you about.
Come on, buddy.
Let go. I tell you, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I saw the guy that did. Let go.
Hold on to him, Irv. That's the guy Sam had to throw out of the store. He was casing the joint. That's what he was doing.
Let go of
him. Yeah. Hold him good, Irv. I'm going for the cop.
Don't worry. He ain't going nowhere.
As I was getting up to go after the police, these two guys rush in and hold me. I didn't do it, I tell you.
He's lying, officer.
We'll find out if he's lying when the guys from Homicide get here.
I don't even own a gun.
That gun laying by Sam's body is Sam's gun. Looks to me like this guy shot him with his own gun.
If you don't shut your mouth...
Easy, does it?
What happens when the guys from Homicide get here?
You want my honest opinion, mister?
Yeah, sure.
I didn't put the cuffs on you for laughs. I think you've had it, buddy. It's only an opinion, but from what I can see here and what I've gotten from these witnesses, you're nailed, buddy. Nailed good.
And I was. By the time it was presented to the grand jury, the state had a real good case prepared against me. The liquor store owner's gun only had his prints on it, which made it look as if I'd tried a phony holdup and jumped him when he drew it. And there was money scattered all over the store, which made it look as if I'd been surprised before I had a chance to get away. That guy Eddie, who'd been in the store when I had my argument, wouldn't let me up. He pounded nails in my coffin every time he opened his mouth. I'd had a job when all this happened that had trouble giving me a motive. And being broke and unemployed made it look that much worse. As a result, I wasn't surprised when the grand jury came through with an indictment for first-degree murder. As far as I was concerned, it was all over but the hanging.
Now, how are you? You, Frank Thompson?
Right now, I wish I weren't, but I am. Who are you?
I'm Ernest Gibbons. I've been assigned as public defender in your case.
You're wasting your time.
Why? Are you guilty?
No, I'm not.
Well, then I'm not wasting my time. Mind if I sit down?
Go ahead.
Well, I think you got most of the facts straight in my mind. Now, I want you to tell me in your own words what happened.
Did you read the transcript of the inquest?
Yes, I did.
That's all there is to it.
Uh-huh. Well, look, Frank, I'm here to help you if I can. Now, don't make it tough for me. I think we can beat this if you help me.
How?
First, let's forget that story about running in after the storekeeper was shot. Now, nobody believes that.
Would you believe it if I tell it to you again?
Should I?
Yes, because it's the truth.
Well, can you describe the man you saw running out?
More or less.
Well, what do you mean by more or less?
Well, I got a pretty good look at his face. He had a mustache. But I couldn't tell you how tall he was or how much he weighed. Seemed to me to be just medium all around.
Well, you said at the inquest that he got in a car and he drove up. Now, can you describe the car?
It's a black coupe.
What year?
Don't know.
How about the make?
Couldn't tell. It was too dark.
Mm-hmm. The license number, all or any part of the license number?
None of it. All his lights were out.
Uh-huh. In other words, if you wanted to lie, this would be a pretty good way of blaming someone the police couldn't possibly track down, wouldn't it?
I guess so. But I'm not lying.
All right. Now, let's see. The state has set the trial for a week from today.
In a hurry, aren't they?
Well, I guess they figure that they've got you sewed up. The papers have public opinion running pretty high against you. You know, the man left a wife and three little kids.
Well, that's tough. Real tough. It was a couple of days later that Ernie came to me and said they were selecting the jurors who'd hear the case. This was a part of the law I didn't know a thing about, so... When he said I had a right to sit in the selection, I went along, only to get out of the cell for a few hours.
Well, to put it simply, it's more of an interview than anything else. It also gives us a chance to get jurors we think might be more easily swayed to our way of thinking.
I'm to the point where I don't care much one way or another. I just wanted to get out of the cell for a little while. Maybe I'd be better off by just plead guilty and get it over with.
Oh, now you're talking foolish, boy. There's a lot that can happen in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's all going to happen to me.
Some of it might be good, you know.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah, over here, Frank. Sit down, right?
Okay.
I'm going to try to get as many women as I can on the jury. You're a pretty good-looking boy. It helps sometimes.
What about the prosecution? Don't they have anything to say about it?
Well, I doubt if they challenge more than once or twice. Now, they think they have such a strong case, it doesn't matter much to them who's on the jury.
They're right, too, aren't they?
Well, that remains to be seen. Here they come.
Yeah. Right now, I'd trade places with any given one of them.
I don't think you'd get any takers. Not as many women as I'd like to have seen.
Ernie.
What's up, Bob?
The guy with the gray suit.
Where?
Over there, next to the dame with the fur coat.
Oh, yeah. Well, what about him?
Don't challenge him.
What?
Don't challenge him. That's the guy.
What guy?
That's the guy that killed the shopkeeper. That's the guy I saw running out of the store that night. Get him on the jury. Don't let him get away. I don't want to die for what he did.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Ronald Reagan in Circumstantial Terror. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Now, see here, Lisa, they're calling him Reagan.
Well, and now they're doing it the right way.
1954 broadcast. So in 1950, right. He was going by Reagan. By 1954, he was going by Reagan. And a little later, we have a 1953 broadcast. Mm. Let's see what happens there, huh? Curious to see what happens.
All right. Are you hot? I mean, it was very hot outside today, right?
Yes, it was.
It was a hot day. This could be your lucky day. The Air Water Energy is giving you an opportunity to win a free air conditioner tune-up and inspection. And the cool part is that it's only being offered to you night owls in DuPage County. Enter to win a free air conditioner tune-up. If you're a homeowner living in DuPage County, visit theawefactor.com. That's theawefactor, A-W-E, factor.com. Click the red radio promotion button and enter special code AWESOME. Every day, some lucky DuPage County homeowner wins. It's a $129 value. Air Water Energy, the most trusted name in DuPage County for air conditioning, heating, plumbing, and energy. Visit theawefactor.com. Click the red radio promo bar and enter special code AWESOME for your chance to win. That's theawefactor.com, the A-W-E factor.com.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we have a Facebook page for this radio show. Just go to Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater. And also we have a website. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com. And at that website and also at the Facebook page, there's our schedule of all the classic radio shows we air Saturday and Sunday nights from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. Every Saturday and Sunday, Lisa and I and Elif are here, and we're playing these classic radio shows for you. And when you're on our Facebook page, please like us. We want to build our likes, right?
Right.
And we have pictures of Ronald Reagan up. We posted some pictures of George Burns and Gracie Allen and Charlie McCarthy, you know, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy and Ronald Reagan. So check those out all at our Facebook page.
And, of course, we have the same call-in line as text in, 312-981-7200, and we'd love to hear what your thoughts
are. Yeah, you can text us throughout the show.
Yep.
Okay, let's get back to this. Circumstantial Terror starring Ronald Reagan on Suspense.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Ronald Reagan in Elliot Lewis's production of Circumstantial Terror. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
It was tough sitting through the selection of the jury, especially when I knew that the prosecution could, for no apparent reason, disqualify the man I'd pointed out to Ernie. If he was the man I'd seen run out of the liquor store the night of the shooting, then he had to be where we could keep tabs on him. Ernie sacrificed a couple of his limited number of peremptory challenges just to make sure the guy came up for selection. When he did, there was no objection on either side, and we had him. Later that afternoon, when Ernie came to my cell, we tried to figure out what we were going to do with him.
Well, now that we've got him, what are we going to do with him?
Well, it's your job to figure out, Ernie. You're the lawyer.
We're no better off now than we were at the beginning. We haven't got a shred of evidence to substantiate your claim.
I saw him. Isn't that enough?
Well, you're on trial, not him.
Well, supposing I get up in court and say he's the man, what would happen?
He'd probably declare it a mistrial and discharge the jury and go to work on another trial, but you'd stay in jail.
Wouldn't they question him?
Maybe. It was pretty obvious he'd say you were off your rocker. Remember, Frank, you're the one who's accused. Defending yourself by accusing him just on your say-so is pretty flimsy. Who'd believe it? Would you?
Well, couldn't you do it? Couldn't you tell someone?
Proof, Frank. Proof. What can I possibly do but quote you?
What am I going to do?
Just what we're doing. Go through with this trial. Then I'll appeal, no matter what the verdict is, and see if we can rope our friend into making a mistake.
But he'll duck as soon as the trial's over, won't
Probably, he? Probably, but at least he'll be around while the trial is on. Now, if you cause a mistrial, he'll be gone a lot faster.
It isn't fair. I know he's
This
the
is
man.
A court of law. The burden of proof is on the accuser.
What real proof have they got against me?
They don't have to catch a man in the act of murder to convict him of it. Circumstantial evidence can be strong enough, and in your case, it seems to be.
It's driving me nuts to think that this guy's got to help send me away for a murder he committed.
Yeah, they haven't sensed you yet, boy. Let's see what happens.
And if it does happen?
Maybe we'll have something I can use to ask for a new trial, if we get into trouble.
Where's the trial going to be?
Well, Judge Thurston will preside, I think. Let me see, that'll put it in the City Hall Annex.
Where's that?
In the Annex. That's a small building on the north side of the City Hall. That's next to the parking lot. Why?
Just asking, that's all.
Frank.
Yeah?
Don't try any grandstand plays. Any tangle with the jury might result in a mistrial, and I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay. I won't mess with them.
That's good. Well, I gotta get going.
Going home?
I guess so.
Tell me something, Ernie.
Sure. Well, what do you want to know?
What are my chances, Ernie? And don't kid me.
I wouldn't kid you, Frank. I don't know right now, but I'd sure be lying if I said they were good.
Thanks. That's what I wanted to know. That's what I liked about Ernie. When he asked for the truth, he gave it to you. After he left, I lay back on my cot and thought about the whole mess. Everything had happened so fast, I really hadn't had time to take stock of my position. Now I did. What I came up with made me want to beat my brains out against the steel bars out of sheer frustration. It wasn't anybody's fault if you discounted the guy that actually did the killing. I didn't have any beef with the law or the people who were carrying out the law. It was just that they didn't know they were going to convict an innocent man. For hours, I guess I lay there thinking about ways to clear myself. Most of the ways were more daydreaming than anything else. I finally came up with the conclusion that anything I did was going to have to really go from the time I started it. There wouldn't be time for talk or reason. In the morning, I got dressed and ready for the first day of the trial. When I got to the courtroom, I was seated beside Ernie. Then came the time when papers were being shuffled and everyone was getting set for the opening arguments.
Now, then, you take it easy, Frank. We're going to fight real hard.
You know what a backfire is?
You mean like when a car...
No, I mean like when you're caught in a bad brush fire without any water.
I'm not with you, kid. What are you going for?
You light another fire downwind, let it give you a big burn spot to stand in while the main fire goes past.
You explain it to me later, Frank. The judge will be here in a minute or two, and I want to get my papers straightened here. He doesn't like to see an unprepared attorney.
Listen to me, Ernie. I'm in the path of a real big fire right now.
I know you are, boy. I know, but what...
So I got to try a backfire. A guy can get killed in a backfire, but at least you got to take a chance.
Well, what are you trying to tell me? Now, say it fast, because the...
You'll
judge...
hear from me. Stick with me, Ernie. I'm a pretty good guy, but I'm in real bad trouble. And I'm the only guy that can get me out of it.
Well, what are you going to do?
This.
Look out! He's making a break!
Get out of my way! the only thing I could do. I couldn't sit by while 12 people tried to make up their minds whether I must die for a murder I didn't commit. As I went out the window, I folded my arms in front of my face to keep from being cut to ribbons with a broken glass. I lit feet first in the parking lot and started running. I didn't know where I was going. All I knew was I had to get away fast. By the time everyone got organized, I'd pretty well lost myself in the alleys of the city. I got to a place where they were putting up an office building and ducked into the sub-basement, crawled into a corner and stayed there. Somewhere around midnight, I slid out and started to the only guy in town I knew wouldn't turn me in as soon as he saw me, Ernie Gibbons. When I got there, his place had a light on in the kitchen, so I went around the back. Hi, Ernie. What? Let me in.
Well, come on, hurry. What are you doing here? If they find out about this, I'll be disbarred.
I won't stay long.
Wait till I turn the light off. Now, sit right there, Frank. And don't move around too much.
Thanks.
Okay. Tell me why you did it.
I told you this morning in court. This is my backfire. I couldn't just stand around while they made up their minds whether to kill me or let me rot in jail. I didn't do it. I'm going to get the guy that did.
Oh, then they'll really have you.
And they'll have me for something I did, not something I didn't do.
Well, why'd you come here?
I need an address.
An address? You mean the guy with the mustache?
Yeah. Got anything on him?
He isn't around, Frank.
How do you know?
By the time I got through with the mess you left behind, it was pretty late in the day.
What are you talking about?
Just this. We knew he'd duck out as soon as the trial was over. But during the trial, we might have been able to work something. That's why I warned you about causing a mistrial. Well, this afternoon I went over to the address he'd given. And he moved out a few hours after your break.
Any forwarding address?
Oh, don't be so naive. The man is a murderer. I don't think he knows you saw him running out of the store, but he isn't taking any chances. He's lost, Frank. And you're in a bigger jam than before.
What do I do now?
Oh, yes, you tell me.
I won't give myself
up. Well, that's up to you. You're on your own now.
What's your position in this?
Well, they should turn you in.
But you won't.
Oh, you're a cinch. They have the book thrown at you when they get you.
I gotta think.
Yeah, sure.
Ernie, do something for me, will you?
I might. What is it?
I'm a pretty hungry man. Could you rustle me up some food?
Oh, sure, Frank. I'll fix you some food.
Ernie.
Yes?
What about that witness that claims he saw me casing the place, that Eddie character?
Yeah, well, what about him?
He's the state's number one witness, isn't he?
Well, I guess so.
What's he got against me? Why is he trying so hard to get me?
Well, I think that for the first time in his life, he's somebody and he's going all out to prove it.
I'm going to see him.
No, no, you're not. You're in enough trouble. Lay off of him.
Give me his address, Ernie.
Well, you're out of your mind.
Give me his address. I want to talk to him.
Oh, but Frank...
I know you've got it. You've got the addresses of all the witnesses. Get it.
Okay. It's here in my briefcase. Hey.
What?
Well, that's funny. I never noticed this before.
Noticed what? What are you mumbling about?
The witness against you lives right over the liquor store where the guy was shot.
Ernie.
Yeah?
Just a thought. But he's the fellow that accused me of casing the shop. Suppose it was the other way around. Suppose he was casing it for our friend with the mustache.
Well, you'd have to prove a connection between the two men. So how are you going to do that?
I don't know. I'll figure that out when I get there.
Oh, I can't let you do that, Frank.
Don't try to stop me.
Well, you could get picked up on the way there.
I'll be there in a few minutes.
It's 3 or 4 miles from here.
You're lending me your car.
I am?
Yeah. Give me the keys.
Okay. Here.
So long, Ernie.
I wish I could stop you because...
Don't try it. I wouldn't want to hurt you.
Oh, well, thank you. So long.
Who is it?
Whitey Wilson. Come on, open up.
I don't know any...
But you know me, Eddie.
Thompson.
That's right. Frank Thompson, fall guy.
What do you want from me?
I want to know why you're so anxious to see me burn.
You tried to hold Sam up and killed him, that's why.
You know better than that.
I do? What other reason would I have?
Hold it down to a roar, Eddie. I gotta get some sleep.
Come on in, mister. You with the mustache.
Thompson.
Yeah, that's what Eddie said when he saw me. All right, Eddie, what's this guy doing here?
He's my brother, but it don't mean...
Cozy, huh? One guy in a witness box and one guy in a jury. You really got it made.
Yeah. What are you gonna do about it?
Make you tell the truth.
What are you talking about?
Why'd you kill him? Need the money?
Get out of here.
After you write me a confession.
So I can burn instead of you?
That's right.
You're wasting your time.
Am I?
Get the cops, Eddie. Now!
Get up, you. Am I wasting my time? Am I?
I don't write nothing.
You won't.
Okay. Okay, now.
Start writing.
Here come the cops. You're dead.
No, mister, you are. If the cops get here before you finish writing, I'll kill you. If I'm going to fry for something you did, I'm going to be sure you go with me. Now make up your mind. You want to die right now or take a chance with a jury?
Okay. Give me a pen.
I hope you understand why I sent for the cops, Frank. I didn't want you getting any more trouble.
Oh, sure, that's all right.
Well, how's it feel?
Mighty good. It's a pretty town when you don't have to look at it from behind steel bars.
Yeah. What are you going to do now?
It looks like I'll be able to make that job I told you about. Only a few more days to wait.
Where will you be staying?
I don't know.
You got any money?
Enough.
You got any money?
No.
Then it's settled. You'll stay with us until you get on your feet.
All right.
You heard me.
Okay. Lend me a quarter.
Sure. What for?
How to buy a pack of cigarettes from a machine.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Ronald Reagan.
Congratulations on an excellent performance, Ronald.
Well, thanks, Harlow.
Next week, the story of a cross-country train trip, during which a police officer finds himself torn between his assignment and his personal feelings for the girl in car 32. Our star, Mr. Victor Mature. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morrowick and conducted by Lud Bluskin. Circumstantial Terror was written for Suspense by Ross Murray. In tonight's story, Howard McNear was heard as Ernie. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Clayton Post, Charles Calvert, Hal Gerard, and Kurt Martell.
Ronald Reagan is currently starred with Steve Forrest and Dewey Martin in the MGM production Prisoner of War.
And remember next week, Mr. Victor Mature in Thomas Walsh's story, The Girl in Car 32.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
That is Suspense with Circumstantial Terror, starring Ronald Reagan. And his lawyer there was Howard McNear. And yes, Howard McNear was Floyd the Barber. Yeah, Andy. Yes, Andy. On the Andy Griffith Show. Well, yeah, you cut your hair, Andy. Yeah. That's who that was. Remember that guy?
Good one, Carl.
Remember that guy?
Of course I do.
Yeah, that's him. Also in the cast, Vic Perrin, Charles Calvert, Clayton Post. Great cast. It's heard on CBS, sponsored by Autolite. You're always right. With Autolite. Let's take a break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, this is some cool music. What is this? This is neat. I like it. Elif?
This is Meters Sissy Strut.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Is that anything like Mini Poo? Shampoo? Mini Poo Shampoo? Something like that?
Is that a dad joke in light of Father's Day?
Is that a dad joke? No, Mini Poo Shampoo, remember?
Yeah,
Mini Poo? I know what you're talking about.
She's a little
I think this is the theme song to the Mini Poo Shampoo commercial back in the 1940s and 50s. What do you think?
I don't think
Did we ever figure out if Amident toothpaste is still around? I don't think so.
I believe that it's not, but I still have some.
You know what?
Back in the day.
You do?
Yeah, I still use it.
It Amident toothpaste, and they were talking about dentifrice. That's not a word you hear anymore.
Dentifrice?
Yeah, dentifrice. That's don't hear that. I mean, you know, people don't say dentifrice anymore, really, do they?
I like that word.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I never hear it. It's like you don't
I'm
hear.
I'm going to start saying
People
it.
Aren't named Harlow anymore either.
Well, I'm going to start saying dentifrice, and my next kid is going to be named Harlow.
Yeah.
Could be a
Did
boy or a girl.
Did your kids ever have braces? Do you have braces
all
in
of
it?
Them.
All of them. Wow. That's where all the money went.
I did
went.
Not.
That's where all the money went.
But I did have some Invisalign on my
That's.
On
I remember that.
Remember?
I remember, yeah. You talked with a lift balloon.
No, I did not talk
I've got my Invisalign thing.
No, I did not.
But
I did used to take it out when we used to
This
eat,
is how she
remember?
Used to talk, but she didn't have a list. Hi, everyone. This is Lisa Wolf.
You know, that's good for the radio.
Yeah, it
I
works.
Think people might like that.
Yeah.
That would be really
good. It worked
because
your teeth are very straight.
Thank you. Well, the top ones were already straight, just a little on the bottom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they look good, Lisa.
Thanks.
All four of them. Look
all
terrific.
Four of my teeth, that's
they,
all I got,
they
right?
They look terrific,
Thank
let me tell you.
You.
You know, your teeth are like the stars. They come out at night,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
Hang on a second. There
it's
we
a
go.
Little delayed reaction.
All right, so in our next hour, we're going to tune in to the Charlie McCarthy Show with special guest, either Ronald Reagan or Ronald Reagan. We'll find out. So stick around for that. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. Hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. It's 1:06 in the morning. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning. And we have classic radio shows for you every Saturday and Sunday night, 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. And my co-host is the lovely Lisa Wolf. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Carl.
You're even more lovely the later it gets.
Yeah, as you
and
get
the
more
darker,
tired,
the,
it's hard to
The darker
to
it gets in
cease.
Here, the more lovely you look.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
And Elif Garris, the lovely Elif Garris, is here, our producer. She does a wonderful job. It's so nice to see you, Elif.
So nice to see you, too.
Thank you very much. We have a salute to Ronald Reagan. We have one more radio show with Ronald. I can't wait to hear if they call him Reagan or Reagan in this. It'll be interesting. We may have pinpointed the year that he decided he wanted to be called Reagan instead of Reagan. Because this show is from 1953 coming up.
My guess is he's Reagan.
You think it is? All right, we'll see. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the TV series Doubt as a defense lawyer who becomes romantically involved with a client who may or may not be guilty of a brutal crime.
Yes.
The winner will win two tickets to see Batsu, which is running at the Kamahachi Restaurant in Old Town.
And they feed you.
And it's a dinner theater.
All right. So you will win that. Call us 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. She played Allison in 2007's Knocked Up.
I'm pregnant?
With emotion?
With a baby. You're the father.
All right. Do you know who that is? Call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this. Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play that movie clip again.
I'm pregnant?
With emotion?
With a baby. You're the father.
Let's talk to Jill from Milwaukee. Hi, Jill.
Oh, hi, you
you guys. I love the show.
Thank you.
I think that's your sponsor there, who I saw the commercial on TV. I was very excited. It's very cute and funny.
Thank you.
Tell us who it is, though.
And yes. And the owner at the psychiatrist is very funny.
Yes, she
Catherine
does.
Heigl.
Yes,
Catherine
you are right.
Heigl.
She does a great job in the movie, and she does a great job in the commercial. You are right. Thank you so much for bringing that up, Jill. You are a winner. I hope that you will appreciate 2 tickets to see Batsu. It's an interactive game show. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about it. It's playing at the Old Town's Kamahachi Restaurant, and it's a dinner theater, and they call it a cult favorite. It's been running in New York for 6 years, so we're hoping that it's a big hit here in Chicago as well. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. It sounds really neat.
Thanks a lot. Take care, Jill.
Hope you enjoy it.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Jill. All right. It's time for Ronald Reagan or Regan. In the Charlie McCarthy Show, he's the special guest. Let's go back to November 22nd, 1953, for this Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy will entertain you now, and special guest Ronald Reagan.
Lanolin Plus brings you the Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy.
I'll clip you, so help me, I'll mow you down.
It's Sunday night, and time again for Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Smeard, and Ray Noble and his orchestra, brought to you, transcribed by the makers of famous Lanolin Plus products for softer, more youthful-looking skin and lovelier, more manageable hair. Tonight, our guests are Ronald Reagan and Anita Gordon. And now, here is Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, McCarthy fans. Thank you, one and all.
Yeah. Shouldn't you thank my fans, too?
I did. I thanked him first when I said one and all.
Oh, yes.
And now, folks, for a brief commercial announcement.
Just a moment, please, Charlie.
Ladies, what about termites? Have you checked your foundation lately? Do you have ants in your pantries?
No.
Is your house all loused up?
Now, wait a minute.
Is it squirming with vermin?
What in the world is all this about?
Well, if you must know, I'm a pest exterminator.
Oh, I see.
Of course, don't let that make you feel self-conscious.
No. A pest exterminator.
That's my new racket.
I see.
We guarantee to make your ants say uncle.
Yes. So you're in the exterminating business. Well, I hope you start by getting rid of that mouse in my garage.
I'm working on him. I've been feeding him a lot of spinach.
What in the world's the idea of that?
Well, that's simple. When he gets enough iron in his system, you just drop a magnet down the hole and you got him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Well, no, it didn't, no. I think I gave him too much spinach.
Yeah?
He came out of the hole and beat up on the cat.
Oh, I see.
We'll get him, though. We exterminate anything.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. I say hello there, chaps.
Now, that's what I call a challenge.
You know.
My next assignment.
No. Hello, Ray. Won't you join us?
Well, that all depends, old boy. How much are the dues?
Oh, no.
Ray, I'm in the exterminating business.
Oh, yes?
Yes. Would you like to have your house inspected for termites?
Oh, certainly not. If my house isn't good enough for the little blighters, they can jolly well go someplace else. That's what I say.
Look, Ray, we've studied this thing, and I'm a specialist at this sort of work.
Yes, I dare say, old boy. Well, I've made a scientific study of insects myself, as it happens. Oh, yes. For years, I've tried to find out why moths dash their heads against streetlights.
Well, did you find out?
No, but they seem to have so much fun, I started doing it myself.
Well, that explains many things.
Oh, they're very interesting beggars, these moths, you know. Yes, they keep eating my overcoats.
Your overcoats?
Yes. Yeah. They all wind up with ulcers in the stomach. Ulcers. You do get it, don't you?
Yes,
ulcers.
We do.
Yeah.
I think he hit one streetlight too many.
Charlie, I've had enough of this. Actually, what do you know about exterminating? For instance, how do you keep ants from spreading? Make them wear girdles. No. I'll be serious. Now, what are the various types of termites?
Well, there are two types, male and female.
I see. I'm so glad to know.
Termites are happy about it, too.
Yeah. Did you know that the queen termite lays several thousand eggs a day?
What a performance. Must bring the house down.
Yeah. And at certain times of the year, the king and queen termite leave the colony and start a colony of little termites of their own. Now, that is called swarming.
Isn't he an innocent old duffer?
Termites are very dangerous. If not controlled, they can undermine and destroy any building.
Oh, love those little rascals.
What do you mean?
I just planted 200 of them under my school. Timber!
Now, here is our musical guest of the evening, Anita Gordon, with You and the Night and the Music.
You and the Night and the Music, fill me with flaming desire. My being completely on fire. You and the night and the music thrill me, but will we be one after the night and the music? God done. Until the pale light of dawning and daylight, our hearts will be throbbing guitar. Morning may come without warning and take away stars. If we must live for the moment, love till the moment is through. After the night and the music die, will I and the music and you.
Oh, Marty Snurdy came to town, a-riding on a pony. Stuck a sausage in his mouth and it tasted like bologna. I made it up.
Yeah. Well, tell me, Mortimer, what's new on your farm?
Well, oh, I tell you, at last, my cow, Bessie, is contented.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, she's a happy girl.
I see. So your cow is contented?
Yeah.
Since when?
Well, since I've been using a lanolin plus on my chapped hands.
Oh, I...
She used to go, moo, and now she goes, oh.
Well, our sponsor will be glad to hear it.
Yeah. I also had a visitor on the farm.
Is that so?
Yeah, a man came over and handed me this here piece of paper I got here.
Oh, well, let me see it.
There it is, sir.
Why, this is a subpoena.
Hmm?
It's a subpoena, a court order.
There must be some mistake. I never ordered any court. No.
Haven't you ever been served with a subpoena before?
No. Them Italian dishes are too rich for me, I know.
Well, this subpoena was served to you because it seems that Farmer Abercrombie is having legal trouble. You know what that means?
Well, sure. Something's wrong with his legal.
No. He has no legal.
Well, there's his trouble right there. Yeah.
No doubt they want you in court as a character witness.
Who, me?
Yes.
Gosh, they're sure lowering the requirements, ain't they?
Now, I would like to show you how to act in court. Now, when the judge comes in, you stand up.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
No. I got his seat?
No. Now, Mortimer, I think we better rehearse on this a little bit.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Now, the judge comes to the bench.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Now, I am the judge.
All right. I'll be the bench.
No. If you're in doubt about anything I ask you, you just say, I don't remember. Now, Mr. Snerd, will you take the stand?
I don't remember.
No. Very well. Now, raise your right hand.
It's got to be the right hand.
It's got to be.
Okay. Wait till I sort them out. Oh, no.
You don't know which is your right hand?
Well, I'm working on it.
Oh, no.
There are two of them, you know.
Yes, that's right. Well, let me show you. This one is your left hand.
Yeah?
Yes. Now, where is your right hand?
In my pocket. Yeah, I know.
Well, then take it out.
Well, I can't. I forget which pocket it's in.
All right. Now, look, Mortimer. This is your left hand. Now, how about your right hand?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
Now you're sworn in. Now, as the judge, I ask you if you're Mortimer Snerd. And you say, yes, I am.
Yeah, but suppose I ain't.
Yeah. But you are.
Well, yeah, right now, yeah. But things might get better for me. Oh, no.
Look, Mr. Snerd, can you identify yourself?
Yeah. I got a mole on my stomach.
No, I don't mean that. Well, what do you know about Farmer Abercrombie?
Well, he's a man.
No.
Well, then he sure fooled me.
No. No, I don't mean that. We assume that. Could you say that he was kind, honest, above board, and outspoken?
Yeah.
All right, then repeat it.
Well, he's kind of honest, and he's got an outboard and motorboat.
No. Mortimer, I just can't get anything through your head.
Well, why don't you try taking it around it? Yeah, I
That's the first portion of the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy Show. We've talked about this often, how a ventriloquist worked so well on the radio.
Exactly.
Never quite got that.
And that's what is so intriguing about it. It actually works.
Yeah. Collecting these shows throughout the years, I never was a huge fan of the Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy Show.
Really?
Because you can't see. But, you know, it would be interesting to watch this.
Yes, I agree.
Right? Would be, and they did movies, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. And yeah, no, there's not really a Charlie McCarthy. It's Edgar Bergen doing both voices. Here you hear him with Edgar Bergen with Mortimer Snerd. And he also had a female dummy by the name of Effie Clinker. Did you know that, Lisa?
I read about
Effie
that.
Effie Clinker.
That's what I want for my birthday, Carl.
You want another Charlie McCarthy dummy?
I want a
when
dummy.
When Lisa was a little girl.
I want a
girl,
dummy.
You have one right here.
I don't.
Right
I know.
To your right.
I want one that fits on my shoulder.
Yeah. When Lisa was growing up, she had a Charlie McCarthy doll.
I did.
What happened to it?
I don't know.
Isn't that crazy? Think about this. You had toys. Like I had a G.I. Joe.
We had lots
when
of
I was
G.I.
growing
Joes.
Up. I had a G.I. Joe. And where is it now? Where is that? I want to know where my G.I. Joe is right now.
It's with my Charlie McCarthy doll.
And I had a...
It's like Toy Story, how they give away all the toys when the kids grow up.
Trying to think when. What else did I have as a kid?
You had one toy?
I had one toy.
Did you have a Slinky?
I think I had a Slinky.
I had many Slinkies.
And I had a... When I was real little, like when I was three or four, I had a Batman car. You know, like a Batman car that... I actually could get in and pedal.
Oh, wow.
It was a pedal
car.
Batman pedal car.
Do you want to know my favorite toy?
What was that?
It's called Twirlo Paint.
What?
Twirlo Paint.
Oh, I had a Twister.
Oh,
remember
of course.
Twister?
Well, I still have
cool
Twister.
Ella, do you know what a Twister game is?
Of course.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Twirlo Paint. It spins and you put the paint on it, makes these really cool pictures.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That was my favorite
toy. Very cool.
Well, anyhow,
all right,
you've got
to do some work here.
Yes, without health insurance, an ER visit could cost you over $6,500. A foot fracture could cost you over $17,000. You never know when something may occur, and if you don't have health insurance when you need it most, medical bills will quickly pile up. Go with the best health coverage available. Go with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Blue Cross Blue Shield has been part of this community for over 80 years, helping members and communities live healthy and well. Blue Cross is dedicated to helping Illinois be a healthier place to live, work, and play. Over 8 million members, which includes me, Carl, carry the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois card, and no card gives you more confidence when you walk into that doctor's office or hospital. Blue Cross will provide you peace of mind at a time when you need it most. For more information on health insurance, health and wellness tools, tips on how to enroll, and how to find a plan that fits within your budget, call bcbsil.com. Blue Cross, Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all.
A Pittsburgh Penguin once threw the cup in his swimming pool. Clearly, it's up to the city of Chicago to rescue Lord Stanley and bring him home to safety. It's time to thank Chicago Blackhawks again, and the convention is coming up. You could win your way into the Chicago Blackhawks convention this July 15th through 17th at the Hilton Chicago. Go to WGNradio.com/contest for your chance at 4 passes and 2 hockey pucks signed by your favorite players. Sponsored by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands.
If you're listening to this commercial, this could be your lucky night. I mean day. Airwater Energy is giving you an opportunity to win a free air conditioner tune-up and inspection. And the cool part is, it's only being offered to you night owls in DuPage County. Enter to win a free air conditioner tune-up. If you're a homeowner living in DuPage County, visit theawefactor.com. That's the AWEfactor.com. Click the red radio promotion bar and enter special code AWESOME. Every day, some lucky DuPage County homeowner wins. It's a $129 value. Airwater Energy, the most trusted name in DuPage County for air conditioning, heating, plumbing, and energy. Visit theawefactor.com, click the red radio promo bar, and enter special code AWESOME for your chance to win.
Airwater Energy.
theawefactor.com.
All right, Lisa, let's remind all of our listeners, because next week, Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, will be here in studio giving away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to one of our lucky listeners. And if out there in Radio Land, if you would like a chance to win a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, just send a picture of you and your cat, or just your cat, to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Email us that picture. We'll post it on the WGN Radio Theater Facebook page. Send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. We need your name and your city and state.
Right, and don't worry, we won't post any names on the Facebook page. And if you'd prefer that we didn't post it, you just let us know, and that's fine. Some people are shy and they don't want their picture on there. And if you just want to post your cat, that's okay too. The important thing is here is that we want you to try Cat's Pride. We know it's the best kitty litter on the market. It comes in the green jug. Catherine Heigl is a spokesperson. And this is a superior product. We'll be talking about it next week with Dan Jaffe, but he will be here live in the studio, and we'd love to give some lucky winner an entire year supply of kitty litter, which is worth quite a lot of money.
Right. So just send your picture. Don't delay. Send a picture of you and your cat, or just your cat, email it to us here at catspridephoto@gmail.com. We need your name, city, and state, and you will be automatically entered, and Dan just reaches in, pulls out someone, and that someone could be you. And the Cat's Pride Kitty Litter Ultimate Care is in the green jug. Don't forget. Switch, because every time someone buys Cat's Pride Ultimate Care in the green jug, a portion of the proceeds goes to help cats and dogs all across the country that are in shelters. So that's a really good cause. All right. Thank you, Esmeralda, and thank you, Roger. This is the WGN Radio Theater. It's 1:35 in the morning. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning, and then we'll be back next week. We have more fun radio shows for you next week. In fact, I have it right here. A salute to Henry Fonda on Saturday, and then a salute to Brian Donlevy on Sunday. We'll have the Lux Radio Theater, the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. We'll have Dangerous Assignment, Suspense, and the Burns and Allen Show. That's all next week, right here on Radio 720 WGN, broadcasting across the country because this station reaches about 40 states at night, parts of Canada. So your voice is heard all over the place, Lisa.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
When Lisa was growing up, she was saying to herself, boy, I would just love to be on the radio someday.
Well, that's why I called in. It's fun.
You would have been happy in college radio, and look what happened to you here.
Yeah, I didn't do that
on the
college,
biggest radio
though.
Station in the world.
We didn't have radio in college. I didn't have college radio, no.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't an opportunity.
I did. I had a station at...
While you were taking up space?
Yeah, it was when I was taking up space.
Great.
There was a college... At my college, they had a radio station.
I don't believe that mine did, but we had a lot of other things.
Yeah. Well, we don't have enough time to talk about
all those things. No, we do not.
Because we have to listen to the conclusion of the Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy show. And I can't wait to hear how they pronounce his last name, whether it's Regan or Reagan. You're saying Reagan.
That's
right?
True.
Okay.
I'm usually right.
I kind of agree with you.
Okay.
Let's go back to November 22nd, 1953 for the conclusion of the Charlie McCarthy show.
Charlie, I hope you've given up that ridiculous idea of yours of going into the exterminating business.
Well, why should I, Bergen? I got at least 100 happy customers right here in Hollywood.
Charlie!
Uh-oh, 99.
Yes. Why, Ronald Reagan. Ronnie, did Charlie talk you into taking his exterminating service?
Yes, he told my wife and me that he'd get rid of the termites in our house, so we let him spray it with his own formula.
How did it work?
Well, the termites are staying, but we had to leave.
Oh, I see.
Come on, boy. Let's have my $10 back before I sick those termites on you.
It's too late, Bud. I've already invested it. I'm using the money to make a movie. It's an epic, of course.
I'll bet.
Yeah. You know all those pictures they're making about ancient Rome lately? I bought up all the pages of script that were thrown out.
This kid's the Cecil B. DeMille of the wastebasket. When are you making this picture?
Right now. And you're in it. It starts like this.
Charlie McCarthy Productions present... Ben-Him. The scene is the Emperor's palace. Stretched out in dissolute splendor on his throne is the fat and bloated Nero. Heavy eyelids half closed over bloodshot eyes. Corrupt, bestial, lips stained with wine. He speaks.
I'm a slob. what a party last night. 500 dancing girl and I was the whole stag line. Oh, my head. I think I'll buzz my trusted slave, Ben-Him.
Thou called, O magnificent one, O noble Nero, light of the sun, ruler of all men, emperor of Rome, king of the universe.
You left out handball champ of the YWCA.
The YWCA?
Yeah, in this toga. Who can tell?
Yeah, these togas sure are confusing. Yeah. For years, I was known as Ben-Hur.
Oh. Well, never mind that. You know, I haven't eaten for 10 minutes. What's for breakfast?
Well, the usual, O sire. Soft-boiled peacock tails, breast of peacock, and peacock giblets.
Yeah. peacocks. All I've had to eat all week has been nothing but peacocks. I gotta stop.
But why, sire?
Yesterday I passed a chicken and she made eyes at me.
Well, that's awful.
It's worse than you think. I started it.
Well, sire.
What in the world was that?
Well, don't you remember, sire? You ordered a man thrown to the lions every hour.
Oh, yes, of course, but not the same man. Taking an awful beating. Oh, my head. How did I ever get home last night?
Well, we had a little trouble with you, sire. You know that statue of Aphrodite in the middle of the fountain?
Yeah.
Well, you kept standing there saying, "Hurry up and finish your shower, dear. I want to get in there and shave."
I do it all the time, I guess.
But, sire, this is a new day. May I present you with today's schedule of dissipation?
Sure.
Well, at 2:00, you take your cognac bath.
Yeah.
Then there's your Scrabble game with the slave girls. Followed by your cognac shower.
Good.
Then your necking contest with the ladies of the court.
That I like.
Yeah. And then your date with Helen of Troy.
Fine. Now, what's for 2:30?
Your cognac shots.
Good. Make it a double.
Announcing the arrival on track 12 of the courier from Egypt.
Hail, O magnificent one, O noble Nero, light of the sun, ruler of all men, emperor of Rome, king of the universe, and handball champ of the YWCA.
Very good.
Thank you.
Take 2 slave girls out of petty cash.
Most generous, sire. Thank you. Fortunately, I have a very large purse.
Didst thou have a hard journey, O courier?
Oh, indeed. Yes, indeed. I had to sail 1,000 miles down the Nile and then brave the tides of the Aegean Sea and the Mediterranean. And now, I want to talk to you about my boat.
Yes. What is it?
Well, may I have one?
Oh. Oh, I've been stabbed in the back.
Who's that, Julius Caesar?
No, that's Julius Cronman. He put money in the picture, too.
Oh, noble Nero, I bring you good tidings. Cleopatra, queen of Egypt, has arrived for the chariot races at the Colosseum.
Cleopatra.
Yeah.
Luscious daughter of the East. Yeah. Jewel of the Nile. Lotus flower of the Orient.
And handball champ of the YMCA.
Oh, look, sire, that must be her coming into the court now.
Get my fiddle. Nero is burning.
Hail, O Nero. Hail.
Wow. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither was she.
Why do you stare at me? This is just my traveling costume.
You must have crossed a lot of wide-open spaces.
Oh, it was a long trip, but I finally arrived.
Yeah. Care for a game of handball?
Oh, you are so beautiful, O Cleopatra.
But I'm not Cleopatra. I'm just a poor slave girl that Cleopatra bought in the market.
Why can't I fill my shopping basket like that?
Well, why did Cleopatra send you here?
To give you a message, O sire. She will bestow her favors on the one who wins the chariot race tomorrow. And now, Nero, I give you a farewell kiss. Ava, aqua, pluribus, valor, septimus.
Who said Latin was a dead language? Come on, then, him.
Where are we going?
We gotta get a chariot. We're entering that race.
Oh, Nero, news of Cleopatra's decision is spread. There is not a chariot to be had in all of Rome.
Oh, well, this place is our last hope.
Hail, boys. My name is Honest Demetrius, used chariot dealer.
Well, we want a chariot, and we want the best you got.
Well, you came to the right place, boy. Here's a brand new Hudson chariot with a step-down slave. only got 4 miles on a speedometer. You see, it was driven by an old lady from Spartacus.
It looks sort of ancient to me.
Well, it's a 42 BC model, but it's powered by a 41 BC horse.
Well, I don't know.
And we throw in all the accessories. White-walled horseshoes, two-toned blanket, and this windshield wiper here.
Windshield wiper? That's just a piece of straw.
That's right, boy. You tickle the horse and his tail swishes from side to side.
That horse looks older than a 42. He doesn't have any teeth.
What's the difference? He seldom smiles.
Look at him standing there gumming his oats.
And why is he standing on those 4 packing boxes?
Well, that's to keep his stomach from touching the ground.
You could use a few packing boxes yourself.
I could use a few.
I'll take 2, boy. Hey, that doesn't look like a racing horse. I'll wager it's for work. Tell me, is it a dray horse?
What's that again, boy?
Is it a dray horse?
No, it's brown, but he had a very sweet disposition.
Oh, brother. Look, we'll take the chariot, but there better not be any tricks. This happens to be Nero.
Nero? Why, if he's Nero, I'm Salome.
Oh, yeah? Well, just look at this royal crest on my ring. There.
Well, pass me my veils. I'm dancing tonight.
Greetings, friends, Romans, countrymen. It's a beautiful day for the big race here at the Coliseum. And now the chariot race is ready to start. They're lining up, and there they go. Going to the front in number 1 chariot is Nero, driven by Ben Hem. In 2nd place is Brutus, driven by Willie Shoemaker. And now they're coming into the home stretch. They're neck and neck, and the winner is Nero. And now Nero and Ben Hem are getting out of the chariot to collect their prize, the fabulous Cleopatra.
Ah, Nero, your moment has come at last. There she is, Cleopatra.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Cleopatra, now that you are mine, Nero wishes to gaze upon thy beauty. Please remove thy veil.
Oh, that's not a veil. That's my skin.
I've been framed.
Cleopatra, you're just a little old lady. Well, they say that just to be near you is like the fragrance of perfume.
Well, it used to be true, but lately I'm getting down to the bottom of the bottle.
What a prize. I wonder ruins of Pompeii.
Are you the same Cleopatra who made love to Mark Antony and Julius Caesar?
Oh, yes. I've lived. Not recently, but well.
Cleopatra always wears a snake around her waist, doesn't she?
Oh, I had to give them up. Man, they're nervous. Crazy mixed-up asps.
What was the matter?
Well, they made Mark Antony furious. Every time he kissed me, he thought I was hissing him.
Maybe it was just the water on your knee boiling.
Never mind. I'm yours, Nero. Yeah. Come into my arms. Send me.
Yeah. Well, that does it. I passed a royal decree disqualifying myself. 2nd place wins Cleopatra.
Oh, thank you, boy. Come here, Cleopatra. Kiss me.
All right, lover.
Wait a minute. You're just Cleopatra's slave.
No, I'm Cleopatra. I just did this to find someone who would love me for myself.
Oh, come into my arms and collect this great big bundle of joy.
I don't get it. How did you know she was really Cleopatra?
Well, I'm really Julius Cronman. I peeked at the end of the script.
And now, here is Edgar Bergen.
I would like to thank Ronald Reagan and Anita Gordon for joining us tonight. And before we go, I know you're all waiting for a closing thought from our eminent philosopher, Mortimer Snerd. Ladies and gentlemen, Snerd's words for the birds.
Don't cry over spilled milk. Go find another cow.
Thank you, Mortimer. Until next Sunday, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sneard, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble, brought to you by Lanel and Plus over the CBS Radio Network at this same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Viola Vaughn, Jack Kirkwood, and Gloria Gordon was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce, script by Norman Paul, Cy Rose, and Zeno Klinker. This is Bill Baldwin speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
All right, I missed it. I don't know if they said Reagan or Regan on that.
Yeah.
Could someone text us? Let me know. Did they call him Regan or Reagan on that last show? 312-981-7200. Every time I was trying to listen to it, Lisa was.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Carl John, just would not stop talking.
Just the jaw, jaw, rah, 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 rah. So I didn't hear it.
It's just too much. Just too much chatter.
Oh, my gosh. All right. That's the Charlie McCarthy Show, November 22nd, 1953. Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sneard, Edgar Bergen. Oh, no. I said Ronald Reagan or Regan. Ray Noble and his orchestra. Terrific episode as heard on CBS. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we're back with Nick DiGilio. He is here. We were talking cubbies. Yeah. We're talking about our cubs. So this guy, they brought this catcher up, this new guy. First pitch, home run?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
First pitch, first swing in the majors.
Wilson Contreras.
Contreras.
And supposedly he can just pick guys off left and right.
What's really
too, right?
funny is what's hysterical about it is, I mean, it's an amazing moment. It's like a magic moment. It's your first at bat in the majors.
Sure.
First pitch, you swing, gone, home run.
Wow,
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, he was pinch hitting for they taken Hendricks out, so they put this guy in to pinch hit. He hits his first major league pitch, home run, gone. But then as soon as he gets to the dugout, they're like, well, you got to go catch in the bullpen.
In the bullpen.
He had to go to the bullpen and catch. You got to do your job, man. You may have just hit a home run in your first major league, but you're still a bullpen catcher. And then the guys in the bullpen, all the pitchers hugged him and stuff. It was pretty great.
Oh, man, that's great. Was that just a couple days ago?
No, it was last night.
Oh, last
Sunday night.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Or for you guys tonight.
So, yeah, these cubbies, they're on fire, man. It's unbelievable,
27
right?
games above 500, 12 and a half up.
Oh, man.
It's June 20th, man.
Yeah. Well, my brother, who is a lifelong Cubs fan, he's glued to every game. He's watching every single game.
I haven't had this much fun. And I've been a Cubs fan my whole life. I grew up 6 blocks away from Wrigley on Addison.
Yeah.
I haven't had this much fun watching a Cubs team since 08. 08 was the last time, you know, and I thought 08 until last year and this year, 08 was the best team that they've fielded.
Yeah.
Probably since 69. And until this year and last year. I mean, especially this year. It's insane.
You know, you have to, if you haven't ever done this, you should do this. Randy Hundley has a camp. He does what do they call
fantasy
it?
Camp.
Fantasy camp, uh-huh. Right? I did 2 or 3 of them. The best time I've ever had ever, right? He brings out all these great Cubs. You know, I had got to play with Jose Cardinal and – I can go on and on. Larry Bittner and Joe Pepitone and all these just amazing Cubs players. Rick Rushel was there. I got to bat against Fergie Jenkins.
Wow.
Yes, in a game. So I don't know if Randy Hundley's still doing this, but if this is the best thing. You would love it as
well,
a
he's,
Cub fan.
Randy Hundley is amazing.
Too. Yeah, he's just terrific.
He's also hysterical.
He is hysterical. He's... it's just nonstop laughing and joking. He would say, "All right, everybody, it's time to get ready to play. Put your costumes on."
Good old Randy Hundley.
Gotta love Randy Hundley. Yeah. I'll tell you what, a legend.
Yeah,
definitely,
absolutely,
and one of the best catchers ever to put on a uniform.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, what's on the show?
Movie reviews. Mm-hmm. Finding Dory.
Yeah,
the Pixar movie. Made $136 million over the weekend.
Whoa.
The biggest animated film opening of all time.
Wow.
So we'll talk about that and more.
Yeah.
My dad will tell a joke. And yesterday was Father's Day. Well, for you guys who are still thinking it's Sunday.
Yeah.
We are going to talk about the best, worst, and most memorable movie and TV dads of all time.
Wow.
We'll
very cool.
On, so.